Psalm 92 tonight, if you will, in the Word of God. We're kind of in between a Bible study series. We typically do a Bible study on Wednesday night, but we finished up one a couple weeks ago, and we're going to start one. We're not going to do that tonight, but I just want to share a message with you, something that the Lord, I believe, put on my heart for tonight. And it's kind of ironic, I think, that He put it on my heart for tonight, because typically this is something I would preach Sunday night. But I've just learned that everything in the Word of God is relevant all the time. Amen? And so Psalm 92 tonight, and I've preached real close to our text tonight, but not our text. It's a different text. But I've preached out of verse number 12, really 12 through 14, but mainly focused on verse 12, where the Bible says, "The righteous floweth like the palm tree." And preached on that during our grandparents' day, and of course it talks about how that in verse 14 they'll bring forth fruit in their old age and all that. We spoke on that, and there's some great truths there about the palm tree, and I'll probably preach along those lines again at some point. But I'm interested tonight in verse number 13. Verse number 13. If you're there with me, say amen. The Bible says there, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." There's more wisdom in that one verse right there than you could ever imagine. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. Thank You for loving us while so oftentimes we've been unlovely. Lord, we ask You tonight to help us. I pray, Lord, for these next few moments should arrest our attention, that Lord, nothing would hinder the work that You want to do. I pray You'd cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. Help us to, Lord, speak what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. And Lord, we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. So here in this text tonight, the psalmist gives us some wonderful insight. I believe primarily there's some several applications, and we'll make some of those, but primarily I believe that what's given to us, the insight that's given to us here, is that how we ought to raise and train our children. We're given a wonderful example of why church is important. We're given a wonderful example of why serving God is important. By the way, it's important whether you have children or not for you to serve God and for you to be at church and all those kinds of things. I will say this before we ever get started. If you're here, don't tune this out and think, well, I don't have any children. Guess what? You have a niece or a nephew or somebody else that's watching you and watching your life, and it's so important. I'm thankful for the insight in the Word of God. I think many times we read something like this in the Word of God, especially in the Psalms, and how poetic that it is, and we think, wow, that's really cute, or we think that's pretty good, that's a good thought. No, friend, listen, this is a truth that can transform your life and the life of your family. I believe the wisdom in this one text, don't miss this. I believe tonight that the wisdom in this one text could save you and your family a whole lot of grief, a whole lot of heartache, and a whole lot of pain if we would simply hear it and heed it. I want to speak to you on this simple thought tonight: planting with purpose. Planting with purpose. The Bible says there again, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God." I believe that children ought to be raised for the purpose of serving the Lord. Amen? I believe that ought to be what we try and do. So as we look at this tonight, I want to speak just simply on the thought, planting with purpose. And so, number one, as we look at the text, I want you to notice the place for planting, the place that we're to plant. The Bible tells us in verse number 13, "Those that be planted," watch what it says, "in the house of the Lord." Thank God tonight you're sitting in God's house. I'm glad you're here. There's no better place that you could be or should be. I know you may think, well, this is going on, that's going on, and we've got this to do and that to do. Listen to me, don't miss this. There's nothing more important tonight that you could avail yourself to than to be in the house of the Lord. It's the most important thing. And so he tells us the place is the house of God. You know, and he says here we need to plant our seeds in God's house. You know what our seeds are? Our seeds are our children. That's not a hard one. That's our seed, and we need to plant our seed in the house of God. It's talking about church attendance. It's talking about being faithful to church. If your children are rarely brought to church, if they're hardly ever in Sunday school, if they almost never get involved in activities around here, they're probably not going to grow as prosperous plants for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, whether you realize it or not, Dad or Mom, you're growing something. You're producing something and growing it, and the thing that's going to dictate the type of growth that's produced in your child depends primarily on where they've been planted. Can I just say tonight, if they've got deep roots in this world, if they've got deep roots in the things of this world with all the wickedness and with all the filth and with all the ungodliness that's rampant in our world today, they're not going to turn out the way you want them to turn out. I want you to understand something. When a child turns out right, it doesn't happen by accident. But it happens on purpose. And I'm talking tonight about planting with purpose. But if they've been planted in the house of the Lord, there's a good chance they'll grow up looking and acting like a Christian, looking and acting like a child of God, looking and acting, we hope, like Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian, Christ-like. All the importance of where you've been planted. There's many people whom their kid has been planted at the ball field. And they live, eat, sleep, breathe the ball field. There's those that their kids have been planted in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or gymnastics or soccer or something like that. I'm not against any of those things. I'm for them. My boys played about all those things. But we didn't do it on Sunday. We didn't do it when they was having church. And I'm saying, listen, there's folks that they're planting their kids everywhere and anywhere. I believe there's some benefits to those things. I believe they can teach them good character. I believe they can teach them some good principles. So you hear me tonight, nothing is going to help your child more than being planted in the house of the Lord. The place of planting. I want you to notice the second thing. Notice tonight the promptness of the planting. The promptness. When? When should we plant? We've seen where, the place. Now when? No, that word he says there in verse 13, those that be planted. The very idea of planting something implies that you do it early in life. Right? If we're going to plant something. I mean, you don't plant a bush or a tree when it's 10 years old, right? You plant it when it's just been a seedling and just beginning to grow. You plant it when it's very young. And listen, get your children in the nursery as soon as possible. Y'all with me tonight? Y'all too quiet tonight. Help me now. I'll preach for 4 hours. Hey, get your children in the nursery as soon as possible. Bring them to the house of God. You plant when it's young. The Bible says those that be planted in the house of God. Just after they're born, start bringing them to the house of God. You don't plant grown trees. You don't plant grown bushes. You don't plant grown plants. As a matter of fact, you plant many things when they're just still a seed. I like what one preacher said. He said, man, I went to church 9 months before I was born. Some of y'all to get that on the way home. Still when they're seeds. You plant seeds. Plant them when they're young, as early as possible. It's the Catholics that say, and of course I don't agree with their doctrine or their ideology, but it's the Catholics that say, give me a child until they're 8 years old and they'll be a Catholic for life. And the reality is tonight, they understand the importance of getting them when they're young and they'll begin to flourish later in their life. Why do we run buses and make a big deal about the bus ministry? I'll tell you why. Because we understand it's so important to bring those little kids in and begin to teach them the things of God and preach to them the Word of God and for them to get that in. The Barna Group recently did a survey or a study on all the groups in America that claim to preach Christ. They're not always, they weren't all independent Baptists or anything like that, but they just, groups that claim to preach salvation through faith in Christ, they call them evangelicals. And they surveyed every one of those groups the folks that they could and that claimed to be saved. It consisted of thousands of people, but they asked each one of them, how old were you when you got saved? Listen to this. 94% of the people they surveyed said they got saved before they were 15 years old. So they were 15 or younger when they trusted Christ as their Savior. I was talking with Brother Baker the other day at dinner, and he was telling me about something that his current pastor did, and I know his current pastor well. He's a good man, Tim Gammons. But he was telling me something that he did in a Bible conference, or no, it was a bus conference. And he asked, the church runs about 1,500, probably had more there that day because of the conference. And he asked the folks, he says, listen, if you got saved between 5 years old and 15, I want you to stand. He was making a point about the bus ministry. 5 years old and 15, and Brother Baker was there that day, he said at least 3/4 of the people in that church was standing. So important for us to get the Word of God into the minds before this world fills it up with wickedness and filth and ungodliness, before the devil has time to corrupt them and blind them from the truth. You say, oh, preacher, we don't let our kids watch bad shows on television. They're not going to be corrupted. Preacher, we don't let them hang around the wrong kids at school. We don't let them on the wrong sites on the internet. And so we don't have to worry about that. Can I just say, you don't have to? Certainly you've already figured out that no matter what you do, they're going to be bombarded on a daily basis with influences that are wrong and bad for them. Doesn't matter what you do, friend. You can be right there with them. Take them to the store, and they're going to see some filth. They're going to hear some things. You can't even walk by the magazine rack when you're trying to check out now. Some kid at school is eventually going to introduce them to some kind of filth or some teacher. And certainly when they get into college, some godless professor is going to try and tell them that God's not real and sin's not wrong and there are no absolutes in life. There are no right and wrong in life. That everything's just relative, and if it's right to you, then it's right. If it's wrong to you, then it's wrong. And they're going to have that kid so messed up and mixed up, and because they won't have any basis of truth anymore, because there are no absolutes, right? It's all relative to everybody. To the individual, because they have no basis of truth anymore, because they don't stand on the Word of God anymore. They're going to be like a ship that's just out in sea, just drifting and completely lost and messed up, never able to do anything because they're messed up in their ideology and their outlook of life. Just look around, friend. The majority of our young people are messed up. We don't even know what bathroom to use. Why? Because we don't have a foundation of truth anymore. We have one, but they don't want to acknowledge it. They're messed up. And I'm telling you, if we don't get our kids in the house of God, under the Word of God, start them while they're young, get them planted in the house of God, feasting on the Word of God, making friends with the people of God. There was a fellow I went to school with, I was telling Brother Jim the other night, that reached out to me through social media, and I honestly don't hardly remember him. I remember a little bit about him. He remembered me, and we just got talking with him a little bit, and he was glad that I was not only saved, but I was a preacher, and he a pastor and all that, he had lived a lot like pretty much everybody. I was telling Brother Jim, literally everybody I went to school with that I know of, they're in jail or they're dead, or people I ran with, they're messed up. And he had even got out and got messed up, but he got his life right, I think, in 2000, and been serving the Lord ever since. But I was telling him about that, how that all the people I ran with and all the people I hung with, if you will, in the younger days, man, they're messed up. Many of them dead. Many of them in jail. And I was telling him that, and he said, you know, Pastor, the thing that's worse than that, Brother Jim telling me this, he said, the thing that's worse than that is, I was thinking back the other day, he said, about all the people I went to Sunday school with. And he said, I can only think of one who's still serving God, who's still in church, who's still doing right. And he mentioned Andrew. I can only think of one. You want to know why that is? Because I'll tell you why. At a young age, they were both planted at the house of God. Amen. They were both Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting, bus conference. Not just for a year or not just for two, but their entire childhood, Andrew planted at the house of God, but Jim planted at the house of God. And I'm telling you, both these young men, now they have a good wife. They have a good home. They have a good testimony. They have a great life. That doesn't just happen, friend. But it happens because as a little child, they were planted at the house of God. That made a great impact on the rest of their life. I'm glad, listen, my mom and dad wasn't always what they should be, and I know they finally got out and got further away than I wish they would have on things, but I'm so glad, hallelujah, I'm so glad that I had a mama and daddy that planted me in the house of God when I was a young boy, and I got some things there. I'm preaching today because of some things I got as a young boy, and I was planted in the house of God, and I got a hold of some things that I never got over. You notice a third thing. Not only the place and not only the promptness, need to do it early. I want you to notice the patience. The Bible says, talking about the patience in planting them. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, watch what it says, shall flourish. Shall flourish. You know, it takes patience. Mother, you're a farmer. It takes patience. Put that seed in the ground. Watch this. You don't plant tomato seeds and go out the next day and start picking tomatoes off the vine. You don't plant an apple tree and go out there and start immediately seeing the fruit of it. Listen, you don't see the fruit right away. Same way when you take your child to church and you carry them the house of God over and over again. Don't expect to immediately start seeing the fruit. Some people get discouraged. They say, well, I'm just not seeing it. You ain't going to see it at first, especially if you get in a little later. Because God's got to get rid of all that other stuff first. Get discouraged. Listen, you just got to be patient. If they've truly been planted in the Lord's house, you'll eventually begin to see some buds begin to bloom in their life. Oh, I can think. I've got five, and so I know all about what I'm talking about. You can see the some blooms start to pop out every now and then. You'll eventually start to see a difference in their speech, a difference in their dress, a difference in their interest, a difference in the crowd of people they run with. At least you hope you see that. Just like with planting seed, you got to have patience. Sometimes it's going to seem like, man, we're not getting anywhere. You go out there, you water that thing again, and it still ain't even popped out of the ground. You water it again, finally it's popped up, but man, it's taken forever. Seem like you get nowhere. I want to say, listen, your child, seem like that you, spiritually speaking, they're just as dry and dead as they were before, and they complain about going to church. Don't you let their complaints keep you from planting them at the house of God. All that's coming from the devil. You keep on bringing them to God's house, and you'll be you stop taking them because they're complaining. You'll be complaining a whole lot more later because they won't live right. They won't do right. Every parent here that has a grown child that's still serving the Lord, they went through a time where they were concerned about that child. Every parent here, you went through that time where, man, you looked out there and it seemed like, man, they could go either way, and certainly they can. Many of you here can go back and remember a critical time in your child's life where they got a little rebellious. They begin to test the waters on some things. They begin to seem getting further away from the things of God instead of closer, and maybe they begin to pull away from spiritual things and kind of question their faith and question church and what's it all about. And you can remember being concerned that they just didn't show any spiritual results, but you kept on bringing them. You kept on being faithful. And you kept them planted there at the house of God. And now years later, they're still serving God and still loving God. And maybe many of them still have, now they have their families planted in the house of God. Listen, it takes time. And you never know. I learned this years ago with young people. I taught young people for years. You never, ever know what's going on in that young person's heart. You never know. You don't have a clue. You think, man, and I'm going to tell you this, a lot of times when they're the most rebellious, that's when God's doing His greatest work. And they're running. And they're fighting it. You never know what the Lord's doing in that young person's heart. Don't you get discouraged because it doesn't happen overnight. Oh, he says, eventually, he says, they shall flourish. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Not the way they want to go. Not the way they're trying to go. But the way he should go. Well, they don't like it. Well, they're not going to like it. They're not supposed to like it. But God made you their parent for a reason. They don't need another friend. They need a parent. You can be their friend later if you'll be their parent now. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I've seen it over and over and over again. They may take the long way around. But you have that kid playing the house of God while you have the opportunity to do it, and they're under your roof. They'll know what's right. The place of planning, the promptness of planning, the patience in planning. I want you to notice the product. The product from planning. Notice what he says. Those that be planning the house of the Lord shall flourish, watch this, shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now, everybody here wants the best for your children. You love for your child to be successful. Maybe you want them to go and get a good job and make a lot of money, be a doctor, a lawyer, or something like that. But I'm going to tell you what's promised here, the product that's promised here. It's better than any degree they'll ever get. It's better than any amount of money they'll ever make. But the Bible doesn't just say they'll flourish. By the way, I'm glad that God's people are taken care of. Amen. I'm glad the Hallelujah. I'm glad that the psalmist, he was right when he said, I have been young, yet now am old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He said, listen, I've never seen a child of God that God hadn't took care of. All right? But I'm not talking about that. God will take care of them money-wise and physically. But the Bible doesn't promise that they're going to have this great success many times. He gives it to them as far as monetarily, but spiritually. He says they're going to flourish in the courts of our God. That's in God's house. In other words, they'll be thriving at the house of God. These aren't those who grow up and become Sunday morning only Christians. These aren't those that grow up and become Easter only Christians, or Christmas only, or twice a year only Christians. Oh no, but these are the Sunday school teachers of tomorrow. These are the bus workers of tomorrow. These are the ones who grow up and become the youth workers of tomorrow and the deacons of tomorrow's and maybe even the pastor of tomorrow. These aren't the people that are merely present at church. Oh no. But these are the ones who grow up to the point that they're flourishing in the house of God. Oh, listen, they're bright and they're flourishing. You know why? Because all of their life, that's where they've been planted. Think about the story I told you earlier about Brother Jim and Andrew and how they've been planted at a young age and was planted in the house of God. And we could say this about other folks. I'm just using them tonight. Both of them are serving God in some capacity in His church. Friend, it's no accident. Do you want your children to grow up and be involved in church? One of the greatest joys of every parent's heart is to watch their child grow up and begin to get involved serving God. There's no joy like it in all the world. I'm sure there are those that are proud of their child because maybe academically they do something or some other way they do something. And maybe they become a great baseball player, basketball player, something like that. And we've got the trophies and our boys have all that. But I'm going to tell you, what does something in my heart more than any of those things is when I watch my kids serve God in any capacity. I know it thrills Miss Tina's heart to watch Brother Jim get up here, and I know it was unimaginable at one time. I've heard the stories. Get up here and lead the music, you know, preach sometimes. I know it thrills Miss Debbie's heart to watch Nathan, and he gets up, and now he's going to Bible school, praise the Lord, and going to college, and gets up and preaches and all that. And I know, Brother Joe, you and Miss April, thrills your heart to watch Travis or the family, y'all get up here together and sing the songs, and what a joy that is. I've had the joy of watching two of my boys so far surrender to the Lord and get up and preach. I'll never forget, we took Tyler down a year and a half or so ago down to Pensacola. I'm glad he's not still there, I'll say that. But anyway, we took him down to Pensacola Christian College. And I'll never forget, Brother Jim, we were sitting there fixing to go into Wednesday night church. We were sitting in the truck or car, whatever it was in. And while we were sitting there, and so I'm fixing to take one son, and we're enrolling him in Bible college. We're thankful about that and proud of him for that he chose to do that. But at the same time, we're sitting in the car, we're waiting to go in, and they're an hour behind, so we pull up the live stream here. And while we're sitting there fixing to enroll one in Bible college, I got to watch the other one preaching from this pulpit right here. Now I know, oh, it thrilled my heart. I know it was because of the grace of God on their life, but I won't say it's also simply the fruit and faithfulness and consistency that results of a mama and daddy that's planted them in the house of God every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, revival meeting, missions conference. They weren't just in church some Sundays, but every Sunday. Matter of fact, Aaron surrendered, I think, in a revival meeting. You got to be consistent. Let me ask you something. If you took a bunch of seeds and you planted them in a pot of soil, you plant them there and you water them there and you let them build tomato plant seeds or sunflower seeds or whatever, and you plant them down in the soil, but just for a day or so, or just for a week or so, and then you take them out for a day, you take them out for a week or two, then you put them back in for another week or so. Then you take them back out for a week or two. And that process just constantly kind of back and forth. Do you think that those seeds would ever amount to much? Do you think they're going to be very healthy as a plant? Certainly they're not. Listen, it's in one day and out the next, on one day and off the next, hot one day and cold the next. Let me tell you what children need. They need consistency in their life. Planted's a permanent thing. It's supposed to be. Oh, you can uproot. We saw the tree get uprooted out here just the other day. But that's not natural. That's not normal. When that happens, things get tore up. But to be planted. You see, the thing that makes seeds grow and plants grow is the perpetuity of remaining in the ground, constantly being there in the ground. It's a continual process of being exposed to the sun and the rain and being exposed to all the elements that it's constantly around, the nutrients of that soil and the nutrients of all the elements that it's surrounded by, being constantly there, not in and out, but constantly surrounded by the sun, the rain, those elements. Listen, it's the same for your children. The thing that's going to make the difference in their life and in their spiritual growth is to be constantly surrounded by the sun, S-O-N, not S-U-N, amen, and to be constantly surrounded by the water of the Word, and that they're getting that physical nourishment, and to be constantly surrounded by those elements that's around them, the people of God and the things of God and the house of God. All of it, listen, has to do with whether or not you've been planted. And you can't plant them one day and uproot them the next day and expect that they're ever going to grow to be spiritually healthy. They're going to grow up to serve God. Jesus warns about having shallow roots. You think about the parable of the sower. In Mark chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, it says, "And some fell on stony ground." We know that seed represents the Word of God. Talking about they're sowing the seed. Some of it fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. It wasn't deep. You see, Jesus warned about having shallow roots, not being able to be planted and really take root. He says some of it sprang up because it had no depth of earth, but when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because, watch this, and because it had no root, listen what happened. It withered away. Can I tell you why so many young people are withering away? Leaving church in droves as soon as they get old enough to make the decision because they don't have a root. Because they hadn't been planted in the house of God. The only hope that we have for our children in this messed up world, I'm talking about this world where they're bombarded with filth and bombarded with ungodliness and I'm bombarded with wickedness and all these things on a daily basis. The only hope, listen, that we have for our children, don't miss this, is to some way. I talk to people all the time. They're concerned and I encourage them. I say, you just keep doing right. And God will take care of them. I believe there's a hedge of protection. The Bible teaches it. That when we're in the house of God and we're doing the right thing in the sight of God, God puts a hedge of protection around us. But listen, the only hope we have is somehow, some way, we got to get our children to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Some way, and I'm going to tell you the greatest way to do that is for them to see your love that you have for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your kids will love what you love. They will. And they see your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. When, listen, Mom and Daddy, it's got to be real to you. I remember I've got three sisters. This breaks my heart to say this. Ain't none of them serving God. None of their kids are serving God. I remember one of them, I got her coming. She's coming faithfully. This was before I was here. So I was assistant pastor at the other church. I got them coming faithfully, and I told her, and this was later in life, her kids, a couple of them were already teenagers. And I said, listen, God can do it, but you, it's going to have to be real to you. If it's not real to you, if they see any kind of phony or fake and that you're not genuine in what you're doing, it ain't going to work. And it didn't work because they weren't real. Your kids, you want them to fall in love with Jesus, you need to make much of Jesus. It's got to be real. If it's not real to you, if it's not important to you, it won't be important to them either. And they're never going to believe it's real to you or important to you if you don't make it a priority in your life, the house of God. If coming to church isn't a priority in your life, listen, don't expect it to be a priority in their life. I remember I headed up the bus ministry and ran the bus ministry for years. And there would come a time I'd been picking up a kid for maybe 6 months or 8 months or a year. And at the first, I'd kind of invite the parent. I never tried to push because I didn't want them to stop allowing the child to come. But about a year into it, at least, I'd usually go to that parent and I'd get real. And I'd say, look, we got a Christmas program, or we got this, or we got that, whatever it was. You ought to come hear Johnny sing tonight. And I'd tell him, I said, listen, we're so glad, we're so thankful for that you trust us with your child and you allow Johnny to come. But let me tell you something. I've been at this thing for a little while, and I'm going to tell you what I've seen. The day's going to come, Johnny's going to get a little bit older. And he's going to get a car and he's going to find other things to do. And if it wasn't important to Mom and Daddy to be in church, it's not going to be important to him. I'm glad you allow him to come. But I'm just telling you, time after time after time after time, we love these kids, we bring them in. Oh, some of them stuck. But the majority of them, if Mom and Daddy didn't get in, they got out. If it's not important to you, it's not going to be important to them. Listen, I understand, especially you all with little children. I do. We've got five, all right? I understand it sometimes is a monumental task to just get the kids out the door Sunday morning, just get them in the van or in the car and try and bring them to church. It's all the stuff and the fighting and the arguing and the bickering and it's all the getting them dressed. And now you got, especially the little ones, you got them all ready to go out and now you got to go back in and change a diaper again. I know all about it. I know the task that it is, and I'm sure many times you wonder, what's the use? I mean, we're going to end up in the nursery most of the service, or I'm not going to be able to hear the preaching because I'm going to be distracted by dealing with the baby or the child. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you why it's critical for you to come and bring them anyway, even especially in those first years. The reason it's so important for you to come and still bring them, even if you don't get to hear one single thing. You know what it says to those children when they see you week after week, month after month, year after year, face those challenges and deal with those hardships that's involved in getting the family to church. You know what it says to them when week after week you do those things? It says to them that church is important. They know you wouldn't do it if it wasn't important. You wouldn't waste your time fooling with it. They realize that you wouldn't attempt something that's so challenging if it wasn't important. And when they see you face the challenge and see you meet the task of getting everybody out the door week in and week out, they're going to know church is something that's important. But if they grow up and they got to ask on Saturday night, are we going to church in the morning? Watch this. They're not going to grow up thinking church is a necessity. When they grow up seeing you skip church for anything and everything, go when it's only convenient, go when only there's nothing else to do, and well, we just won't go in the morning because, you know, Susie's got to sniffle, whole family's got to stay home, blow her nose. And it's not going to be important to them. They're not going to get that. The thing that I wanted my children to get is that church is important. And they knew. I don't just come in here with the flu, okay? But they knew. We may be feeling a little rough, we're going to church. It may be snow on the ground, we're going to church. Might be raining outside, hallelujah, you're here tonight. It's a messy night. And you know what they know? Church is important. They're not going to know that. They're going to grow up with the attitude and conviction that church really doesn't matter. It's just something that, you know, it's nice to have, nice to be there sometimes. They're never going to know the joy of having a real relationship with the Lord Jesus. Well, they may be saved, but of having a real relationship. And they're never going to know the joy of growing up in a truly Christian home. They're never going to know the joy of when they grow up and get married, probably most likely of having their own truly Christian home. In fact, the Pew Research reports that 8 out of 10 people, 80% says that they still identify with the Christian faith. Now that they're married themselves, they got their own family. 80% that grew up in a true Christian home, they still identify with the Christian faith, and in fact, they still take their family to church the way their parents did. And going to church and all those things, they still do it. However, those that reportedly didn't attend church regularly when they were a child and church really wasn't a big thing, it's a very, very, very small percentage of those that ever get serious about the things of God, that ever get serious about church or about the Lord. So a man was surprised when his son, little Bradley, came and suddenly announced to him after church one morning, he said, "I'm thinking about being a preacher when I grow up." His dad was surprised about that, and he said, "Well, why is that, son?" The boy said, "Well, I figure I got to go to church every Sunday anyway, and I think it'd be more fun to stand and yell than to sit and have to be quiet." Hey, they need to know church isn't an option. You're going to be there. Praise God, if I'm going to be there, I better flourish in the courts of our God. Our children ought to know going to church is not an option, but it's a conviction for our family because it's important. Now, I don't believe anybody here tonight wants their son or daughter to grow up and get caught up with the wrong crowd or end up in jail or end up strung out on drugs or end up with a messed up life of kids with two or three different people or anything like that, or maybe even something worse, killing somebody while they're driving under the influence. And I believe that most of you, if you could do anything to spare them from a life of pain, you'd do it. The truth is, you can. You plant them in the house of God. You start them off right and give them the right kind of foundation. If you only knew the people whom I've counseled who sat weeping. Some of them church members, some of them family members, some of them just people that I meet. just sit weeping and counseling with them because their kid who's now a teenager, their kid who's now a young adult, their life is messed up. And in many cases, that parent sits across from me and they know that they hadn't done right by that child and taking them to church and raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And they'd made other things more important when that child was growing up. Other priorities, and church never was something that was a priority. It was just some place we visited every now and then, and now they're reaping the harvest of that seed that was sown, and if they could go back and change something, they would. You can't go back. You can't go back. Let me say this. Now's the time to change your child's future. Right now. You can't go back and change it later. Now is the time to give them the best possible chance at a successful Christian life. You got to plant them in the right place. I want to say this. I'm fixing to close. I believe this book from cover to cover. I believe every word. I believe that there's a literal heaven, and I believe there's a literal hell. I believe there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I believe that heaven is where the throne of God is. I believe that hell is where the fire of the Satan is, and all those that die without Christ go. I believe that. Don't say this tonight. If there was no heaven, we know there is. But if there was no heaven, and if there was no hell, if there was no such thing as sin, if there was nothing that was wrong to do and everything was okay to do, if there was nothing that forbid us from doing those things, watch this, I still believe with everything that's within me that the Christian life is still the best life to live upon this earth. Listen, there are too many, you just look around. Think about the blessings and the favor that Christians have. Just look around and the quality of life that Christians have versus the life that the world has. Thank God I'm glad this Saturday night I'm not going to be in jail. I hope not for out drinking or driving. I wish we'd be in jail for some reason now. Or any of that. Or God help us. You'll bail me out, won't you? If you don't, you're preaching. Hey, I won't be hovering over a toilet, throwing my guts up, alcohol poison. I came up with this one, you'll like it. The life of the fruit is determined by the location of the root. Other words, your children, the fruit, their life is determined by the root, by where they're planted. Wherever you plant them. If you've been planting the house of God, to be a prosperous plant. Listen, I understand. Some kids make their decision and they do their thing and there's nothing you can do about it. And it breaks their heart. I'm not saying it's 100% proof, but I'm telling you, because ultimately God gives us our own free will, but I'm telling you that the greatest hope and the greatest chance you can give your child, and it's a huge percentage, that they will do right if you do right. I'm going to tell you when they won't do right. For you to live a life where you say, do as I say and not as I do. For you to be a hypocrite and say, now listen, I expect this of you, but I'm going to live this way. They'll rebel against that and they'll hate all of it. But if you're real, you plant them in the house of God, you'll be amazed at what the Lord does in your life and in your family's life. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and take some prayer requests tonight.